wherever that is. The vision is the art of seeing things invisible to others. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Vision is the art of seeing things invisible to others. Now we think, wow, I don't know what that's all about. That sure sounds interesting, that we can see things that are invisible to others. A doctor who is psychic, you might say, or who is sensitive, either way you look at that, has a patient come into him. And the patient says, "Doctor, I've got this problem, I've got that problem, I've got the other problem." And the doctor says, "Well, all right." He doesn't say good like he should say, but he says, "All right. And then I got this problem, and I've been having these symptoms and that symptom." And the doctor says, "You know, my friend, your mother died 2 years ago. If you would take the burden of your mother dying and get it off your shoulders by blessing your mother and telling your mother, 'Go in peace, my dear sweetheart, I release you,' all the symptoms that you're telling me about right now would just disappear." See, when a doctor can see the invisible, as some doctors can, and they give pills and they give many medications and stuff, but they know the fact. They know that if you can get rid of this tension, if you can get rid of the anxiety and the things that hurt you, those invisible things, if you can get rid of them, you can't just say, "Go away." They don't go that way. But what you do, you replace them. You love them. And you release them, and then wonderful things happen. But it's a matter of being fully in charge. Now, can you see the invisible things around you and in you? And the answer is absolutely not. All of us, we can, but we don't. All of us are aware that we do silly things, and it's sort of invisible to us, but we're aware, and then we wonder why we get silly results. We think that we can go around being unkind to other people and saying you're naughty and you're not nice and you're a bad person and not realize that that's our reflection. So if we ever see anything in another person, that's our reflection. Now my dog Rex is over here just having a living ball, lying on his back and scrubbing his back on our beautiful carpet, saying to himself, "Oh, this feels so good." Now Rex, you're a bit noisy. So, do it quietly, all right? But he is so happy. For a one-year-old golden retriever, he can find more things to delight himself with. Now, we should find things like that to delight ourselves, rather than being delighted in telling people our problems. Now, if you got up this morning, you have something to be thankful for. If you ate your breakfast and it stayed down, you get something to be thankful for. If you went to a job that was paying you and you wanted a job or need a job that pays you so you can pay your rent and so forth, then you have something to be thankful for. If you would begin looking at all the things that go on in your life every single day that you have to be thankful for, then you will realize that you have many blessings. Now, we don't want to say thankful, because when we say thankful, it's as though there's something outside of us that has given us this gift. We, inside of ourselves, have prepared ourselves to have these experiences. And we have these experiences because of one thing. We put a cause in motion, and that cause brings results for us. Now, we have a rule here in this house, which is totally ignored. And the rule is, whenever the lecture is given, and we have three lectures a day that we give, our menagerie, our vast number of pets, are put under cover. So they don't have to be concerned with each other and playing. It's all good playing while the talk is going on. And of course, what are they really doing? They're vying for our attention. They want our attention. Now, it's invisible that that's what they're really doing, but that's what they're doing. And then, the moment we take those dogs and the cats, and we put them quietly into their room, into their little houses, into their special places, they're happy. Animals like to be under control. Animals like to have their owner, their trainer, their master, their pet, take care of them and keep them in good shape. You can slide over next to him if you like, Ingeborg, and that will help him so he is not noisy, okay? So now he's taking his tail and he's hitting the crossbar that holds up our counter, and he's singing a song with that. You hear that? Well, what he really likes is to be the master and enjoy himself. Now, Rex, sit. Sit, please. Rex, sit. Sit. Rex, sit. Rex, sit. Good boy. Down, down, down. Good boy. And you have to be persistent. And when you're persistent, your pet will obey you and will do the things you do. But you have to also be consistent. If one minute you say sit, and the next minute you smile and say, oh, you're a good puppy standing, he won't know what to believe. Well, we're like that. See, those are the invisible elements of our life, the invisible elements of our everyday. When we say one thing, and then we're off onto another tangent before we finish what we're doing. Now, do you want to have... Now we have Ellen being just as noisy as a dog, with her feet up on the table, knocking things off the table. But... Well, that's right. Ellen has always told me that she's just a little kid. Her name is really Tinkerbell. Mm-hmm. And like Peter Pan, she doesn't want to grow up either. And I think that's just wonderful. Now, that's an invisible evidence. You look at her as a grown lady, very mature, very beautiful, very responsible and mannerly in every way, sort of a very dignified executive. And you think, well, with her feet up, it has a little connotation there, but... Basically, you look at her and you think of quality. And you look at Rex. What do you think? You think quality. Now, why do you think quality? You think quality because you know within him is the ability to be trained. Within him is the ability to be trained to be nice in other people's houses, to sit when he's with you, to mind when he's with you, not to speak unless he's spoken to, you know, that's true. And to do all the good little things. Well, now, do you think that your body, your humanness, is any different? Our body and our humanness is ready for our invisible training. Our body and our humanness likes to be trained. We spoke about the Queen of England the other day, and we spoke about being a prince or princess. And when a person is a queen, for instance, the Queen of England, and they walk into a room, they have a certain charisma about them that everyone immediately respects. They don't say, I'm the queen, now everybody bow, you know. And everyone would say, yeah, if she did that. But she comes into the room, and she is a queen. She is a pure, dignified person, and a lovely person. She does not see anything going on in that room which is unlike her queenly self. She does not see anybody who spits out the side of their mouth to the corner of the room. Yeah. Remember when they had spittoons in those days, you know? When people smoked cigars and chewed cud and stuff like that. Cud. And these things were quite common. When you were in a saloon, and not a salon, but a saloon, and you were sitting at the bar, and you were drinking, and you were smoking your cigar, and you had all this liquid juice in your mouth, the tobacco juice, you'd go like that to the spittoon across the room, and very few people missed it. Oh, one or two, but most of them hit it, went right in there. Now, that was acceptable, but is that acceptable in the presence of the queen? Is that acceptable in the presence of your mother? Or maybe your mother can spit better than they can. But is it acceptable? And these are things that we have to be aware of. Those are the invisible or hidden qualities that make up our life. And like I say, if we train Rex as a wonderful, obedient dog to always be at our beck and call, he will feel happy. He will not be worried about chasing rabbits and doing... That's not his native nature. We say it is the native nature of an animal to chase.
Instinct.
Instinct. and it's not. What about man? Man's instinct goes back to, you know, well, dog is so recently civilized. Well, dog has never had that as an instinct. Dogs would eat anything that was available, and if they had to chase it, that was fun. And dogs did not chase food to eat it. They chased food to play. Now you say wolves, they chase food to eat it. You say pack of wild dogs, they chase food to eat it. But do they really? Do they go for the play first? Is it the game that excites them first and the food second? Why is it that they don't immediately start eating the minute they capture something and get them down? They don't. Why is it that they like to play with their prey? And as long as the prey is alive, they will play with it, and they'll tease it. And they'll be kind of mean, but by our perspective, they're mean. But the thing is, these are invisible activities that take place within everyone. Now, let's have another invisible activity. And this invisible activity is you. Each one of us has our original purity and integrity, which is our wholeness and our reality. Now, are you expressing it right now? And the answer is yes. You are expressing your original purity and integrity right now. What is the problem then? Well, the problem is we haven't trained ourselves to see it. We have looked all around instead of directly at it. When we look directly at our original purity and integrity, we will see that we are non-judgmental, we are unpossessed, we are all of these beautiful things. We're untouchable by whatever is being done around us, and we're one-pointed in what we do, and the ultimate, we are unconditionally loving. And when we're unconditionally loving, then we express our original purity and integrity. For if we need nothing, want nothing, and are everything, then we are unconditionally loving. Then we are expressing our original purity and integrity. What do you think your original purity and integrity is, huh? What do you think it is? You think it's a beautiful body? You think it's a beautiful mind? There is no beautiful body. There is no beautiful mind. There's only a beautiful consciousness, which is eternal. And that beautiful consciousness has within it a beautiful mind and a beautiful body and a beautiful everything. But that is not your original purity and integrity. Your original purity and integrity is your consciousness. Now, can you see it? Will you ever really be able to see it? No. But you live it. You live it and you know it's right. You know when you're doing things that it is right. And that's your conscience, not your conscience that guides you from right and wrong, but your consciousness, I guess would be better to say. It is your reality. It is the essence of you. And you don't know it. If you ever saw your consciousness, if you ever saw your divinity, you would never take your eyes off of it. Never in a million years. Because it's so beautiful. It's so complete. It's so wonderful. Think on these things and realize that vision is the art of seeing things invisible to others. And what we see that's invisible to others is our divinity. So go for it. And know that I'm right there urging you on. I love you. I love you.
I love you.